from KUER News in Salt Lake City. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. What do you learn from life on a farm? The singer-songwriter Joshua James lives on a kind of farm. It's a homestead in American Fork with chickens and goats and bees, dogs and cats. He says when you live your life with creatures, you see your share of death. With death, he says, come questions, and questions always lead to songs. But for Joshua James, so do other dramatic moments in life. Birth and love and the struggle to believe. You'll find all of that in his music. Some of it is his own story, some are characters he created, stories he dreamed up. Today in the program, we continue our series on local music with Joshua James. He'll be with us in studio to play after this news. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. One of the songs in Joshua James' acclaimed and popular album, Build Me This, was chosen to accompany the opening scenes of an episode of the television drama Sons of Anarchy. It's called Coal War. Didn't write it for the show, at least I don't think, but its themes about redemption seemed a perfect fit for the images of a man being released from prison. Joshua James has said he puts himself in the core of the character he's singing about. And sometimes it's himself at the center of those stories, sometimes it's someone else, but either way, the stories always seem personal. After releasing Build Me This in 2009, he took some time off from music, or at least from producing albums. Late last year, he was back with a new record. It's called From the Top of Willamette Mountain, which is a reference to his home, his place in American Fork that he shares with his wife and child and goats and chickens and other assorted creatures. He's also called Willamette Mountain his Neverland and his state of mind. Today in the program, Joshua James is joining us to talk about music and home, and of course, he'll play some music as well. And we invite you to join us if you like. You can send us an email, radiowest@kuer.org. Call 801-585-WEST. The number mostly will just be listening to Joshua, I think, though, today. Joshua James is with us on lead vocals and guitar. And Joshua, welcome. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Evan Coulomb is also with us on guitar, sings backup vocals. Evan Coulomb, welcome to you.
Thanks
for being with us. And Isaac Russell on bass also sings as well. Mm-hmm. Joshua, as I mentioned, has just released also a new EP. It's called Beware, and we'll talk about that as we go along. So, Joshua, I've heard you say this before, and it seems almost kind of impossible. You said when you first came to Utah, music was never in the plan.
It was not. I shouldn't say it was never in the plan. I like to listen to music, so that was in the plan.
But you weren't playing music?
No, I wasn't playing music at all.
But did you know how to play the guitar?
I knew chords on the guitar. Yeah, growing up, I had a guy in my church that was really good friends with my father taught me some old Woody Guthrie songs and Dolly Parton songs and Kingston Trio. He was a really big fan of Kingston Trio, old folk music, and had taught me some of the cowboy chords and cowboy songs. But I didn't play really music growing up. I took piano lessons from my mother till I was maybe 13, and after that kind of gave it up as well. But it wasn't till, I guess 2003, I think, is when I came to Utah that I remember I bought a guitar. eBay was all the rage. I guess it still is all the rage, but it was all the rage at the time. And I bought this, saved up money. I worked at Mrs. Fields Cookies in the mall and saved up a bunch of money and bought the nicest guitar I could because I just wanted to impress people, I think, is really why I
That's
bought
the guitar.
That's
what it was at first?
Yeah. I think, well, yeah. And
it wasn't, hey, I'm going to now no, start it wasn't, to express myself.
Wasn't no, it wasn't way. Like this artistic move or endeavor that I was in search of. It was more of, I want to learn this Dixie Chicks song that I keep hearing on the radio or whatever music I was into at the time. So I learned a bunch of cover tunes, and then that slowly morphed into writing my own songs and putting... I always liked writing poetry and things that rhyme together and phrases and such.
So you were putting words together in some way then, sort of.
Rarely, but yes, yeah. When I was feeling tortured or inspired or dark, whatever, I would put it in my journal and I thought, how cool would it be? It was a very daunting thing to go from learning other people's songs to trying to write my own. I remember thinking, how do you write a song? And I just... I was a college kid that didn't have a girlfriend, so I just kind of sat around my room and started tinkering around on a guitar, and one thing led to another, and then I had some songs.
Do you remember, like, the first time you thought, I figured this out? Like, was there a particular song where, like, oh, this is it. I think I could maybe even do this.
I don't remember a specific time where I ever felt that. Because, you know, like you mentioned, I was in nursing school when I dropped out of college to go pursue this wildness of music and singing for people. And it wasn't even me that was kind of pushing me to do that. I had a manager, and then we had just signed on with this booking agency out of Nashville, and they said, we have this tour that's 2 months long. And obviously, being in school, you can't leave for 2 months and expect Rebecca next to you in the seat to take notes
take
for
your
two
notes,
months,
right?
You know? So it was kind of one of those things where I just decided to give it a go, you know, and that was 6 years ago. And now I'm here with you on Radio West. It's the wildest thing. It really is a very wild thing for me to think that people want to hear me sing songs to them. But it's amazing. I mean,
But do you think like, I found this thing, because it is a gift. Let's be honest. I mean, you should be honest about that. It is a thing that you have. It is a gift that you have. Right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it is. Yeah. For me, it is. You know, for me, it's a gift to be able to express myself via songs and singing. Because it is a release. It is like a huge... You know,
do you feel like you found it? Like, I found this.
I think
expression.
I found part of it.
Really?
But I think that there's other things out there that maybe are going to catch my attention in the next 5-10 years and where music takes a back seat.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I need to... I don't want to be one thing until I die. You know, I want to do a lot of things. And, I mean, music right now is the main man in my life. In regards to that, but there's so many other things to experience as a human being that I have a hard time thinking that I'll be doing the same thing always.
Yeah.
So,
well, we'll get to that because I want to spend some more time with that question. I mean, you've described your music as an escape. So do you see it as, because I want to get to some of the themes in the new album, but do you see it as you yourself kind of working out, you know, issues, your worldview, the way you relate to religion and God and your life and your wife?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, if anything, oftentimes when I sit down to write a song, the theme doesn't take over until I have gotten like a phrase or something that has led to me, oh, okay, this is where I can take this melody or this is where I can take this chord progression that I've been working on. And those first like 3 or 4 times after you've written the song and you're singing it to yourself, because you know there's no one around, is the most real thing. It's like the wildest feeling, because you are just expressing this thing, and in this like, you know, kind of pretty melodic way of, like you said, whether it's religion or love or some sort of thing that you've been going through or that you've seen someone go through, and it's incredible. I mean, it's incredible to be able to express yourself that way. And so that's a way for me. It's like I hate to say it because I, you know, everyone says it, but it is a coping mechanism. You know, art is a coping mechanism. Singing is, for me, that.
You were born in Cleveland, but pretty quickly moved to Nebraska. That's, I guess, where you sort of oriented yourself with the world, at least at first. You were born and raised in a pretty strict Mormon household.
Mm-hmm.
And you said your parents were kind of like, I'm trying to imagine what that means. Was it like, all right, we're listening to hymns, guys. We're not listening to rock, or was it?
Oh, couldn't listen to rock.
No way.
No, I had my records. And the thing is, like, this isn't me talking badly at all about my parents. My parents are incredible people, but they were, in their minds, you know, God bless them, trying to sway us away from what they would deem to be a dark universe in the world, and rock and roll fell into that universe.
Yeah.
And so,
but not of the world.
Right. That whole thing. And you know, so my Red Hot Chili Peppers records were smashed, or like in front of me to kind of make a this is wrong. You can't listen to this type of thing. And so I had to, I kept all of my, I was in very into CDs. So BMG and Columbia House, all that thing. And I'd keep all my CDs over at my best friend's house. And I would just go over there and sit in his room and listen to my music because I couldn't listen to it at my house. And so, yeah, in that sense, it was a very, it was a strict household, you know, it was a, but my parents are amazing people. They're just, I think they did the best they could with the information that they perceived to be the truth in their lives and in what they wanted to be the truth in the lives of the children. Yeah. So,
and so it, you sound like you really respect that.
I do. I absolutely do. Because we all, you know, everyone says, or not everyone says, you hear a lot, and even sometimes I fall into this category, people saying, you know, religion is brainwashing, but anything's brain. You teach someone from the time that they're born anything, and that's, for lack of a better term, brainwashing. You know, we weren't there when so-and-so founded this country, but we believe it to be true because that's what we've been told. Like, it doesn't, it's all the same thing, that just God is a little bit more of a mystical, magical creature than Columbus or, you know, any other founder of a country. It's just, it kind of, I think that's, my parents just did, they're awesome. They did the best they could, and I turned out like this, this dark man.
I want to ask about the song Doctor, Oh Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Was your father a doctor?
He is, a podiatrist.
He is a doctor?
Yeah.
So, and again, I don't want to psychoanalyze you with your lyrics, but I want to talk about some of this. I mean, some of this is just, is for Emma.
Mm-hmm.
A reference to, and it seemed like the beginning of the song, it seems like this is a love song for Emma, for me anyway.
Yeah.
But then you write this, and it seems like you're talking to your folks. I mean, mother, my companion, please remember what I said. And you say, and though you paint your house bright blue, and I paint my house red, there's always middle ground on which to stand.
Mm-hmm. That's religion.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just because it is what they are.
Yeah.
It is what they are. It is what my mother is. She, you know, that's, she's a devout Mormon believer woman. Yeah. And I think it doesn't have to be in the club or out of the club. It can, there can be some commonality between, you know, thoughts on life. You know, we both believe that to be a good person is important, and she believes that too. So that's one common thing that we have. There's millions of those, but for some reason, because I don't, you know, whether a person, you know, combs their hair to the right or to the left, we draw these barriers, and religion so often, in my opinion, does that. And that's, I think, the biggest reason why I have such a hard time with it.
Yeah.
Is that it does that. It draws barriers, especially between these relationships that should be so strong, the strongest family relationships, the strongest thing, and it can crumble that.
Yeah.
It can destroy that.
Part about your father, you say, Father, my protector, please watch over, keep me safe. And you say, and if you get discouraged about this son you have raised, don't dwell on the past or your life's revolving stage. And you say this, you say, the love that you've taught will forever in my heart remain. It's kind of a plea to your folks, right?
Oh,
to
yeah,
say, guys,
absolutely.
Come on. I may not be right there with you, but I'm there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, I mean, especially that last line is basically just saying, just because, it's the same thing as to my mother. It's just because we don't agree doesn't mean the things that you've that you've taught me throughout my life aren't still instilled in me. We just don't maybe necessarily agree on these small, in my opinion, insignificant points.
Yeah. And then the reference to heaven. If there is a heaven, I'll meet you on the other side. So whether there is or not, I'm hoping that'll all work out in that sense. Will you play this for us?
I would love to play that tune. Doctor, oh doctor, please bring me my wine. All the nights to remember getting harder just to find, and more words serve confusion to each corner of my mind. Baby, call me up when you get some time. Emma, dearest Emma, please have patience with me, sweet. I know the road seems forever, but in time our hearts will meet. and we'll dance across the crystal floor into our love retreat. Now there is nothing in the world that could ever mean more to me. So I'll stay with you until the morning, when the golden sun shades the moon, and when the black disease it eats away both you and me. Darling, I love you, but I'll never see you through. Now, mother, my companion, please remember what I said. I know my words might confuse you, floating up inside your head. And though you paint your house bright blue, and I paint my house red, there's always middle ground on which to stand. And Father, my protector, please watch over and keep me safe. And if you get discouraged about this child you have raised, don't you dwell on the past of your life's revolving stage. The love that you've taught will forever in my heart remain. And I'll pray with you till the Lord comes, that golden priest on a steed. And when the day arrives that the angels take your life, well, if there is a heaven, will you send me down a sign? If there is a heaven, I will meet you on the other side.
Joshua James, along with Evan Coulomb on guitar and Isaac Russell on bass. It's from his full-length album, From the Top of Willamette Mountain. We should also say that he's released a new EP. It's called Beware. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're continuing our series on local music. The singer-songwriter Joshua James is with us here in studio. After releasing a popular and acclaimed album in 2009, he took some time off from music or recording albums. Late last year, he's back with a new record. It's called From the Top of Willamette Mountain. He's with us here in the studio along with Evan Coulomb on guitar, sings up some backup vocals as well, and Isaac Russell is also with us on bass. He sings too. So Joshua James, so I want to talk about the new album. So you, as I said, you took some time off. Were you tired from touring and stuff, or was it, what was it? You just wanted to rest?
I just wanted to spend time at home. Yeah. I'd been touring for 4 years, 5 years, I think, at that time, pretty consistently. And we had gotten this home and piece of property, me and my lady, in American Fork, just south of Salt Lake, and we had,
you know, you don't need to say that here.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, I never know.
I heard you say that. Yeah, where's American Fork? Yeah,
American Fork. People always think it's made up too. They're like, you don't live in a town called American Fork. We do, we got some goats and some chickens, and that kind of really took the gardening and such took my interest more than music at the time. And
you fell in love with that, didn't you?
I did. And I'm still very much so in love with it. And I just like the connection that I feel with animals. They're so much easier to relate to than the other animals that I have in my life, which are humans. You know, I really like that. And I like gardening and canning and doing that type of thing. So I just kind of focused on that for a while and was with my lady and my friends and enjoyed my life. Not to say I don't enjoy my life when I tour. It's just a different, it's just a different thing. And music had gotten to the point where it was a job, and I didn't like that. So just took a break, and now it's fun again.
Yeah.
So
are you able to integrate both of them now, you think, better?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. It's been, and it has been like that, I think, for a while, because we worked on this record. We recorded this record in 2011? Was it 11? Late 11, like November, December, and 11. And so it's, you know, we worked on that, and then we had some more time off, because when you don't have an active record, there's not really too much of a point in doing long, extensive touring. Yeah. So it gave us a lot of time to kind of focus on that type of thing. But now we're back in it.
Willamette Mountain, I mean, when did you come up with that I mean, I know you've sort of talked about it as home.
Mm-hmm.
You've talked about it as escape. You've talked about it as a state of mind. You've talked about it as your Neverland, kind of. So so Willamette Mountain is not, and a lot of people are going to think about, oh, Oregon, you went there, right, and you thought that was cool.
The Willamette Valley,
but that's not it.
No, not at all. And I say this every, you know, whenever I get that question, because a lot of people is like, it's not pronounced Willamette. Well, it is.
This is
not Willamette Valley. Yeah. It isn't. It's my home. It's like you said, you know, it's my escape and my place of existence. And Willamette Mountain was something that maybe I read somewhere, and I just thought, I always liked the concept of naming things, and I wanted to name my property and my land, the whole thing, as its own entity.
Yeah.
You know, I went as far as contacting the city to see if I could change my address to, you know, 500 South Willamette Mountain, as opposed to American Fork, Utah. I really thought that could be, that's a neat thing. Like, why not? Well, people make cities all the time. I'm going to make my city, I say. But it didn't work. But I still named my house Willamette Mountain. And when we ended up recording in Oregon, in the Willamette Valley.
Oh, no way.
This is kind of, this is a funny story. We were working with a producer, an artist, Richard Swift.
Yeah, the Shins.
Yeah, the Shins. And, we were recording that song, and I remember Swift saying, it's actually pronounced, Neil's from the other room, it's actually pronounced Willamette Mountain, not Willamette. And I'm like, what is he talking about? I was like, no, dude, it's Willamette. It's Willamette Mountain. He's like, you're in the Willamette Valley. And it was just very insane. I guess I'm an idiot, I just didn't know. I must have read it in a climbing magazine or something that it brought it to the forefront of my mind when I named my home that, but I swear I did not know. I didn't know that Willamette Valley existed. And so when I named it that.
I'm going to have you play Willamette Mountain. Willamette Mountain. But there's this, I get this, I don't know if it's a theme in all the music, but I get these references to I am not real for you, I feel. That's a reference in this song that you're going to sing.
Yeah.
A lot of references to your body, like to that that's real and tangible and that that's not. What's that about?
Well, the I am not real thing is kind of the whole mindset of Willamette Mountain. That was kind of, because the song goes through different things on the mountain that exist and such. And it's the whole state of mind, like you said. And it isn't, like Willamette Mountain isn't real in a some sense. And so it says, I am not real for you, I feel when the morning comes. Like, I'm able to escape into this thing.
Yeah.
And I feel bad that you're not able to be there with me. I'm in this thing, this weird Neverland place. And so that's kind of where it stems from, I suppose.
Well, here it is, the song, Willamette Mountain.
Well, I'm a pile of indecision, riddled with shame. If you leave your home number, I could send you the blame. The teeth in the cupboard ward away all bad luck. Here inside a Willamette Mountain, a sheepskin for winter and a tin can for rain. I'll cut you fresh ginger if you say that you're staying. I got a million more stories, but only half are true. Here inside a Willamette Mountain, I am not real for you, I feel. For you, I feel when the morning comes. I am not real for you, I feel. For you, I feel when the morning comes. So please be cautious, my loved one. The collar around your neck, might not lead you to water, but to prison instead. You got four paths to choose from, and only three will confuse. The last leads to Willamette Mountain. I am not real, for you I feel. For you I feel when the morning comes. I am not real, for you I feel. For you I feel when the morning comes. So hurry and write down your feelings. Hesitation means death. Pickle all of your inklings. Bottle every last breath. Your mind will betray you and say your memory is false. Underneath the sheets in Willamette Mountain. Conjure all of your demons. Make peace with your pain. To ignore and neglect will make you bitter and stained. You're just a creature, a comfort. Your body gives way to the spirits in Willamette Mountain. Ooh. I am not real, for you I feel. For you I feel when the morning comes. I am not real, for you I feel. For you I feel when the morning comes. I am not real, for you. For you I feel when the morning comes. I am not real, for you I feel. For you I feel when the morning comes. Oh, oh,
Joshua James. It's from his full-length album, From the Top of Willamette Mountain. We also heard from Evan Coulomb on guitar, singing backup vocals, as well as Isaac Russell on bass and singing there as well. I've heard you use this word adhere from time to time. Like, I adhere to this album. I adhere to that song. What is that? What is that about? Is that like you're making some? Is it a connection that you're talking about? That you
yeah,
feel
maybe
for?
That I feel connected to it. I hope I'm using this the word right.
I think you're using it right.
I never quite know. There's definitely some words that I'll think are a certain thing and they're not. I'm no English major, but yeah, I'd hear. Yeah, I think I use that in kind of maybe emotionally connect to something,
yeah.
You know, I adhere to that song. Yeah, I've definitely, I think I use that quite a bit.
Well, I think it's interesting that you use that word because it absolutely does mean that you are
bound to it.
Bound
yeah.
to it, absolutely.
Yeah. There's certain, you know, songs and things, you know, talking about the record or whatnot. There's certain songs that I adhere to
yeah.
more than others
yeah.
Just because they're more... they're more relatable
yeah.
to my current state of mind or body or whatever.
I wanted to ask you about Queen of the City, which is also on the album From the Top of Willamette Mountain. And so I've heard you talk about this, but it seems like this was really amazing, this experience, because you've talked about how, so you've got a dog named Tuck.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, your wife's at work, you're
yeah.
wandering around.
She worked nights
at that
yeah.
time. And so Tuck comes in and curls his body around your feet, you said. And at some point this, and it seems like, I don't know if it was instantaneous, but when it came, when the song came, like it came out, and it seemed like you were in this weird trance or something. May have had something to do with the bourbon.
It did.
But it came out in like 15 minutes, you
it
said.
It did, yeah. It was.
Does it ever
one,
happen like that?
It does, yeah.
It does.
It's just sometimes you just go, and I don't go back, and I don't change any lyrics, I don't change any melody. It just, that's what it was. And I remember being super excited about it, and I went because I wasn't able to drive. I biked over to my friend's house about a mile and a half away, and they were all over there, and I had brought the lyric sheet. I was like, you got to hear this. I just wrote this song. And I remembered singing him the song. And it was one of those things where it just happened. It just kind of came. And it, you know, whether people want to believe that alcohol leads to destructive and evil things, which it obviously can, as can anything, it wouldn't have happened if I had not partaken of bourbon. I do believe that. Because I was in a very just loose kind of, because right. It is a silly lyric, you know? My dog ain't nothing like my lover.
Yeah.
It's a very silly, playful lyric. And I think I would have never written something like that hadn't I partaken in juice.
You know what I found interesting about that too is here is a, I'm not even sure how you describe yourself, but sort of a lapsed Mormon or sort of Mormon. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, and you hear religious people talk about the spirit. So it's like on one level you're loosened up by booze, and then the other level you've gotten the
That's
spirit.
That's my spirit, though.
Yeah.
That's like to me that is the spirit.
Yeah.
You know, the feeling of freedom and happiness. You know, and isn't that the spirit? You know, I feel the spirit when I listen to rock and roll music.
Yeah.
You know, it's overwhelming, and it happened to me that one late night.
Well, play this for us, will you?
All right, yeah, absolutely.
Queen of the City.
If I wrote it in your letter and it don't mean shh, I am alive, a dirty wife. Just name my body, it'll make you sick. You have a savior, it's your heart of anger. But my dog ain't nothing, he ain't nothing like my love. Ain't nothing like my lover at all. He was seated upon my shoulder, let the dark day cover, the dark day cover me up. I've got two half dollars underneath my bed. One's for my baby, one's for the lady on the sixth floor found me when my mind went dead. By what they tell you, but I'm here to save you. And my dog ain't nothing, he ain't nothing like my lover. Ain't nothing like my lover at all. He was seated upon my shoulder, let the dark day cover, the dark day cover me up. I heard a lady singing, we're all bound together, la 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 la. I joined her side by saying, to dance beneath the heavens, la 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 la, la 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 la. La 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 la. The Christ, your mother, is hanging on my bedroom door. I bet she's pretty, queen of the city. If you burn all the sinners, I'll join your choir and sing holy, holy till my day of glory. But my Lord, you ain't nothing. You ain't nothing like my lover. Ain't nothing like my lover at all. You were seated upon my shoulder, let the dark day cover, the dark day cover me up. Sit upon my shoulder, let the dark day cover, the dark day cover me up.
Joshua James, along with Evan Coulomb and Isaac Russell. I'm dying to hear about High Low, because I haven't heard High Low. This is the, you guys are just working this out? Are you feeling nervous that I asked you about that?
No, I mean, it's, you know, it's a newer song, unreleased tune that we've been playing a little bit live, I guess. It's really just kind of a storytelling song, just kind of goes through a story a little bit lighthearted, and sometimes it's nice not to play things that are so just emotionally draining after you finish the tune, you know? It's kind of a...
Is it exhausting? Some of these songs that are so personal?
Yeah, it can be very exhausting because, I don't know, especially if it's the right combination of just an amazing crowd and the sound is good on stage and I'm in a good mood or we're all getting along and not wanting to kill each other on tour, there's such a magic element that enters the stage, I think, at least for me, and it can be when you get really into something, it can be like the end of a tune, I just like have to just take a breath, you know, because it, I still do adhere to those songs.
Yeah. So High Low, it's about, so you like the idea of stories in songs.
I do. Yeah. I love a good storyteller, you know, I love John Prine and Merle Haggard, a lot of the old storyteller, Hank Williams, you know. I really like that aspect and following someone's story. Sometimes I feel like we get too artsy, you know. Oh, well, this means, you know. And I do the same thing. Wow, well, this means this. And, well, just tell me how it is, man. Just tell me the story.
Yeah.
You know. And so this, I think it is. Is this song a story song? It is, right? I guess, yeah, you came in here asking. I'm like, I think it's a storytelling song.
Well, whatever it is, play it for
All right. Let's play this one. The song's called High Low. A scream of noise came across the radio the other day. They're playing Bobby Seger on an AM radio station. And I remember what she told me, how that song would make you lonely, and I do, and I do. I parked my car outside the supermarket's neon sign and I walked the block. My mind returned to horses smoking cigarettes. Of course you called to tell me how you hate it, that if you could, you'd change all that you do, all that you do. But it's all high, low, high, low. It's all high, low, high, low. It's all high, low, high. Truck across the street comes racing down, sirens screaming, bloody murder, oh my God. We heard a scream from way on top, a corner street bang building. A family of 10 children have been burned, they've all been burned. And it's a smoky scene in the city where my lover grew up, thinking that the world would talk and voices spinning, verses in the choruses. It depends on how you sing it. Does the music help you fake your final tune? Your final tune. It's a hollow, complain your life
and stayed. And what shadow has a right to complain? Your light fell on water and stayed. And it's all high, low, high, low. It's all high.
James with Evan Coulomb and Isaac Russell. They have a newly released EP. It's called Beware. Late last year, we released a full-length album from the top of Willamette Mountain. We'll take a break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're continuing our series on local music. The singer-songwriter Joshua James is with us here in the studio. Along with Joshua, we have Evan Coulomb and Isaac Russell as well. So I wonder if I won't have you play this piece, but I do want to ask you about Mystic, which is on the album From the Top of Willamette Mountain. And you have this refrain where you say, "And if I don't believe," what does that mean? And you talk about in the song also the part of me I've hidden far below the leather seats is the reference in the song. And I wonder if your relationship with your fans, if it's part also with family, clearly, who are still believers in a certain way, you believe in a different way now. I'm wondering, what is your audience, which I imagine a good part of have been in the past anyway, LDS, do you feel like you have a relationship with them, and in some ways some of these references are to them?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I started playing music in Utah, and as we all know, you know, we live in Utah. It's highly populated with people that believe in that faith. And when I started playing music, I was a very devout LDS member. And for me, my progression in life has taken me maybe down a different road. And I think the hope is... You know, it talks about, like you said, that reference of hid myself beneath the leather seats is kind of just hiding that part of me for so long of, like, I don't know if I am into this. I don't know if I believe this. And not trusting other people in with that information, thinking, no, they won't accept me or they won't take it. And I think that's just no way to live your life. And when I came to that conclusion, That's in large part what this record is about, and what the new EP is about is, it's okay. It's in a way, I think that I underestimated people for so long, including my parents, of being able to or wanting to talk to them about what I truly believe happens when I die, or my, you know, my take on God and our existence as human beings. And so I think it very much kind of ties in with the audience as well, because I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing right now if it weren't for people supporting me. And so, you know, and I want to have that relationship, a good relationship with fans, because, I mean, for me, like, looking at my favorite artists, you know, I feel, even though they don't know me, I feel a relationship with them. I feel like I hear, you know, their songs, and I connect with that. And I think I want the people to listen to our music to feel the same way, that they're able to do that and that I am honest about it, you know.
I'm going to have you sing a song, Ghost in the Town, which seems to be all about this in some ways. I mean, it's a song, in some ways it's like a letter to your wife. And you talk about how there's a ghost in the town, and it's in some ways, I guess, it's a reference to. I mean, you've described it as the shadow you once carry with you.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. And it's a. I mean, Ghost in the Town is kind of a, like I, you know, mentioned when we moved into American Fork, my lady was raised there her whole life,
yeah.
And old friends, her parents' friends, you know, they look at Emma as a certain person. She was this, she was a sweet, she was a cheerleader, she did this. People change, progression in life, you know, changes. And that ghost that lived in the town, you know, it says there's a ghost in the town from where you came. It's the same thing. Like, people expect us to be a certain way, even though we've moved past, or I shouldn't say past, but we've moved from that location to a different one. And that's, I guess, this song's about. Dearest Emma, there's a ghost in the town, a ghost in the town from where you came. Dearest lover, there are cracks on the wall, voices in the hall that can't escape. Can you remember when we all were young, when we all were much younger than today? And have you noticed all the signs on the road, causing all who pass to know to please be safe? And I won't keep quiet for the harm I've caused, and I can't read wrinkles on your face. And I don't have penance for the things I've done. I can't explain. There is a photo on the dash of our car. It's recently gone dark from all the sun. Could you imagine if our skin were to fall? Would the world just be appalled at what we've done? Dearest Emma, there's a ghost in our town, a ghost in a town from where you came on. And all the nights that the dog wouldn't bark, a stare with no remark, a crying shame. There's a crack in the center of our kitchen floor. I'm curious of what it could destroy. As I reach my hand into the dark beach, I hear your voice, I can hear it. Escape of all that's made, a purest olden virtue. And if you need me like I need you, then that ghost that born itself below won't bother me, and baby won't bother you.
Joshua James. I'm trying to pack in one more song, you guys. This one is from the new EP. It's called Beware. You talk about it. This seems to be about God, about what the image is, anyway, of God, the way people perceive it and the way you perceive it. And it led me to this question. Do you feel like you're at peace right now?
I'm so happy. I mean, at peace, there's always things that come up in life, but I'm happier than I've ever been. in my life, and with you know what it is I believe in, and the constant change of belief. You know, I don't believe that I'll ever arrive to some thing that says this is it. This is what happens. I just don't think. I think I'll die wondering, and who knows? Who knows? You know what's gonna happen when we die? I don't, and I'm okay with that, and I'm happy. So yeah, I'm at peace.
Joshua James, along with Evan Coulomb and Isaac Russell, we should mention they just released this new EP. It's called Beware. Late last year, they released the full-length album From the Top of Willamette Mountain. You can find a link to both of those records on our website, radiowest.kuer.org. I'll mention thanks to Cassandra Taylor and Taylor Almond, the show produced by Benjamin Bombard and Elaine Clark. Our thanks also to Michael Havey. And here it is, Joshua James from the EP, Beware.
Well, I lived in that town until I was 17. When I moved to the mountains that rose from the sea, well, they taught me to pray each and every day. They said if I didn't, that the devil, he would take me. So I threw my hands up and I spoke to the Lord. I said, I'm a sinner, an apocryphal poet. It seems that God wasn't near, for no words did I hear. Could it be I was talking to no one? So please beware. In a mysterious way, God is here. Please beware. He's your pity, your pain. He's your fear. Please remember, my son, what I've taught you ain't much, but it is God who will take you from here. Well, I will not deny that the Lord might exist, but he ain't quite the problem to all the answers we've missed. Don't base your whole life off of one bad disguise. You never know behind which mask he's looking. Now if it is comfort or peace in religion that you seek, and it makes you feel whole, then it worked, don't you think? We could argue and scream, paint each other obscene, but I've recently known it don't matter. So please beware. In a mysterious way, God is here. Please beware. He's your pity, your pain. He's your fear. Please remember, my son, what I've taught you ain't much, but it is God who will take you from here. Mm-hmm.